like you. Back again.
Back again.
Back again. I do appreciate y'all setting these back to back. Keep me from having to make two trips.
Well, that's the least we could do, particularly. I mean, we didn't know it was going to be raining today, but my goodness.
Well, given when these were set, I agree with you. My yard was bone dry. The Silva matter, unlike the other ones, a little bit different. It was a full jury trial. There was not an issue with regards to going to the court. Mr. Silva apparently was distraught, decided he was going to go find a young lady that he had been with in the past, and unfortunately took a gun with him. Now, the question here is what really happened. I think if you look at this record, and when I read it, what I got out of it was I could clearly tell the trial attorney was shooting for the ag assault. The intent issue was huge in this case, that whether this young man really went over there to shoot somebody or whether he went over there, I guess, to beat his chest and say, please talk to me, which is kind of what the record has in it, that was the issue. Did he really go over there to hurt these people? If you look at the closing arguments, you can see that the state really just hammered on that intent. How do you do it? You make these statements. You go get the gun. You buy the bullets ahead. Those are the kind of issues that they focused on, and the same thing's true. And I think his trial attorney, came forward with that's not really what happened. He tried the entire thing with, yeah, he's guilty, but not of attempted capital murder. The reason we're here is primarily because it initially started with two ag assaults. They reindicted to attempted capital murder, and it's combining both claims into one. The problem is, well, that raised the stakes from a 2 to 20 to a 5 to 99. If the record is looked at, the clerk's record, you'll see there wasn't a motion filed by the defense in this case. I think in a capital murder case, every attorney ought to be familiar with AIKI, ought to know that you're entitled to some expert assistance. In this particular case, I don't think there was really a question as to ballistics, not an issue. Identification, no. DNA, no, that really wasn't part of this case either. So what's the trial attorney left with? He's left with mitigation. What do we have? He clearly tried this case, and he argued in closing he's guilty, but not of that. When you do that, what you've got to do, I mean, if you're going to take that position, and I say that is a sound trial strategy, I think it actually prevailed here. I think that he did do that, but the problem is what did he do to help with that punishment issue that he was trying for? Nothing. Nothing. There wasn't a motion filed. He could have gotten a mitigation expert under AIKI, and he didn't even ask for it. The factors outside of the events in question, I think, are critical here. And he got some of that in through the testimony of both the young lady that Mr. Silva was going to see. He got some of it in through Mr. Silva. But the problem is a third party looking at this from the abstract that would have been able to go talk to friends, family members, counselors, the church members that were actually predominant here. The two people he shot were the I want to say preachers. They were head of that church of some sort. I'm not quite sure exactly what that organization is and how that functions, but they were the ones that were actually there, and they had other members there that would have been able to come in and talk about this. The only person that got put on the stand, I believe, was the appellant's sister about her brother, and that was it. I think that given that this case was clearly tried essentially as a punishment case, it is critical to get that expert in there to come in and say, look, this person's not all bad, and here's why. I guess one of the reasons we're here is because what if you're wrong? As a trial attorney, you don't always get to have all the answers. And I don't think any of us do. But I think the problem is that you need to prepare for the worst-case scenario. And the worst-case scenario here was being found guilty of attempted capital murder. We got essentially a 18-year-old, 19-year-old boy who's looking at life. You probably ought to prepare for that. And the way you prepare for that here would have been to go ask for that mitigation expert somehow, somewhere, do something to get that person here.
But from what we see, it looks like he got the mitigation in at guilt and got himself a 20-year cap.
I think he got part of it in. I think there's more that he could have gotten in if he would have gotten the mitigation expert, primarily because he's limited to you've got a bias issue. You got a sister. You got the defendant. You've got the jury over there in the box. They're looking at it like, I know my sister. Well, she better come testify for me. If she doesn't, we got a problem. Thanksgiving is going to be a problem.
Is there any evidence what the mitigation evidence would have been if he had gotten a mitigation expert? Because, I mean, we don't know.
No, we don't. There isn't any of that in the record, primarily because it was never asked for. I think that if the motion had been filed and been denied, it would have been made part of the record, but the motion wasn't even filed. I don't know how to – I would like to see that, but I'm stuck with the record as I get it, and then when I get it, it doesn't have any of that in here. When you look at the file, and there's no motions whatsoever filed, including motions in limine, simple things. I don't think the motion in limine would have preserved anything in terms of evidence. So,
no motion for new trial that would show what a mitigation expert could have testified.
No, by the time I got involved,
it was too late.
Pretty much was too late, Judge.
Is that something that could be developed in a petition for writ of habeas corpus?
I'm sorry?
Is that evidence on what an expert could have come up with, is that something that could be developed on a petition for writ of habeas corpus?
Yes, ma'am. I'm kind of hampered in both these cases, primarily because, yes, a writ of habeas corpus is typically the vehicle on which those issues are tried, or actually we've got the evidence to bring forward to you. And since I'm stuck with this the way it is, yes, I would love to have that, but I'm not the writ lawyer. I got appointed by, I believe, Collier in this matter, Judge Collier, to go forward on the appeal, and this is what I could find, and I would prefer to be doing this on a writ basis. But yes, it can be developed on that. Unfortunately, I can't get it for you. I'm sorry. Moving on to the charge issue, the way this thing was, he was actually indicted first on two separate ag assaults, and then it got combined into the attempted capital. I think they carried that through. I can see how they got there in terms of the pleadings. I think the issue becomes, if you look at the charge as a whole, there are two separate assaults. One of the husband, one of the wife. When you have that, then each one of those could have a different realm of intent. And they actually charged it that way. And then when they get down to the verdict form, they've got one blank. So the jury couldn't actually carry forward on an aggravated assault on the husband and an aggravated assault on the wife. They had to combine it, essentially. And I don't think that, I mean, the evidence is clear to some degree. Even out of the young lady's mouth, she jumped on him. So whether he was actually pointing the gun at her, how she got shot, and she did get shot, I believe, in the jaw. It's kind of a strange thing. I don't know whether there's no rhyme or reason as to how that could have happened, but there is some issue of it could have been an involuntary issue of his hand squeezing the trigger and it going off. So that one he could have been found not guilty of and found guilty of the other. Unfortunately, the jury didn't have the option to say one or other.
But what difference does it make?
Well, I was thinking about that also on the way down here. The difference is I think the jury gets stuck with swapping. They have a blank for attempted capital murder, and they don't want to do that. They have a blank for the other. They don't want to do that. Well, they could have, given exactly how the attorney argued he's guilty, but he's not guilty of that. I think it's the only thing they could do is fill this in and say, look, you're guilty of two counts of aggravated assault. I don't know that in the end, I'm not sure it makes that big a difference because the penalty range is the same.
Or they could have split the difference and said, I think he was there to kill one of them but not to kill the other one. And because he wasn't there to kill both of them, I'm not going to find the attempted capital murder. But he was there to do some damage, so
that, I mean, that is,
it could have been to his – we just don't know. We can't
That's clear. I agree with you. And I think that, the problem is that we don't know because of the way that charge was submitted, and we don't know whether it's one or both. Or, I mean, and honestly, I was thinking on the way down here, he was subject to stacking if we actually split it up this way.
Split it up because.
So it may be that he wasn't harmed by it just because of the fact that by combining them, judge couldn't stack it. That was one of those things that on the drive down here, I went, you know, light bulb went off. But,
yeah, because, you know, we reversed this on that ground.
That's
and
correct.
And then he gets his two charges, and he gets an attempted capital on one of them, and he gets an ag assault on the next one, and they're stacked. So, I mean, he's looking at life with 20 stacked on top of it.
Or, yeah.
You sure you want us to
20
think
with
about that
life?
One?
Well, I'm here based on his direction, Judge. I mean,
maybe you ought to talk to him before you decide whether you want us to write an opinion on this.
I will do
you
so.
You might want to withdraw this appeal.
I might. And I will, but if I can find him. Again, they ship them all over.
Check the jails.
Have you tried? It's hard. Oh, and before, about the time I get one found, they're moving them. And stuff, I'll send stuff. It's like, why am I getting this back? Anyway, yes, I agree. I think that it's problematic, but I think there are some other issues involved. That young man, that's a hard place to put an attorney, is to have to come in after this and try to say, okay, yeah, I'm not sure this is really what you want to do, especially with the jailhouse lawyers on the inside helping. So anyway, I do appreciate it, and I would ask for a reversal at this point, but I will be speaking to my client.
I think it's a real good idea. Hey, Catherine.
Thank you. Unless there are any questions, I think I'll just rely on my brief.
Ask
the court to affirm the trial court's decision.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I had to make the trip for such a short. You sure you don't want to? I mean, you made the trip. If you want to argue, that's fine.
That's all right. Judge, unless you want to hear something, that's...
I don't have any questions.
Okay, thanks. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, Your Honor.
All righty. Well, your case is submitted. Appreciate your being here, and nice to see you both, all three of you. And you're released to go about your business, and this court will be adjourned. Sir?
You had a question earlier, not in this case.
Uh-huh.
The one prior about that surgery?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's necessarily an answer.
Okay.
When I was much younger and before I went back to school.
Yes, sir.
I was taking advantage of some insurance.
Uh-huh.
Wish I had it now. Going back to school, it is. I had to go to an oral surgeon to have wisdom teeth taken out because of nerves. They would not let me... There's an issue with tools,
uh-huh.
And the oral surgeons have a different set of tools, and my dentist told me that if he screwed up, essentially, that it would numb my jaw. And so I had